Welcome to the Leadership Insights Podcast, the podcast that takes you on a journey into the world of leadership, offering a deep dive into the minds of accomplished leaders from various fields around the world. I'm your host, Amanda Jane, originally from the north of Ireland and now living in beautiful Cheshire, England. Together, we'll explore the strategies, experiences, and wisdom that have shaped these incredible leaders into the visionaries they are today through solo episodes and interviews. I'm a leadership and communications coach myself, and I'm passionate about promoting a coaching culture in the workplace, as well as empowering leaders to flourish personally and thrive professionally. Whether you're a seasoned executive, an aspiring leader in business, or someone simply fascinated by the art of leadership, each episode will provide valuable insights, practical tips, and inspiring stories. So get ready for a dose of motivation, innovation, and leadership brilliance on the Leadership Insights Podcast, brought to you by amandajane.co.uk. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us and welcome to this episode of the Leadership Insights Podcast. And this is a really special episode because tonight I have my former teacher with me, Paula Miranda. Hello, Paula.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me.
You're very welcome. It's only a pleasure.
Well, we'll start off with the three easy questions and then I'll ask you I'll be the teacher. So what have you picked a favorite motivational song?
I have, but a bit of a dilemma because I've got two favorite songs.
That's okay. That's allowed.
Oh, fantastic. They aren't your usual conventional songs that you'll hear on the radio, but I will name them and the singers as well, the artists. So the song is Champion, and it is by a band called 3 Days Grace. So it is a heavy metal band. I am very much into my rock and heavy metal. And the reason I chose that song is because it talks about how sometimes you have to pull blood from a stone to achieve what you want to achieve, but at the end you come out the champion. And then the second song I chose is Warrior, and it's also by a heavy metal band from and they are called Dead by April. So Warrior.
I'm looking forward to listening to these already.
Warrior is a song about always fighting for what you believe in and never giving up. So those are my two favorite songs.
Well, they sound incredible, right up my street. I'm definitely going to add those to my playlist. Brilliant. And do you have a favorite motivational quote?
I do indeed. And I actually have a very big, I have it in a big frame in my home and I look at it every day. And the quote is, "Only look back to see how far you have come."
Brilliant.
So it's about looking back to where you started and looking at where you are. And tomorrow I'll look back on where I was today and where I am that day.
Brilliant. I love that. And you have it in a big frame. Perfect.
I do. I'm forced to look at it every day to remind myself of how far we've all come in life.
Yeah. No, that's really good. I love that. And a favorite book, and many people struggle with this one because it's hard to pick one, but do you have a favorite book? And it doesn't have to be a motivational book. It can be a book about anything.
So many, many years ago, I read a book. I wasn't in a very good place in my career. And I happened to go to the library and I saw this book and it almost called to me. It's since been revamped and rewritten. The current version of it is The Power of No. So it's about having the strength to say no to beliefs that aren't true to the real you, to things that you don't agree with, that don't resonate with you. Oftentimes just to try and avoid complications or arguments or disagreements, you'll just agree and say yes, but never say yes if you really want to say no.
Yeah, and that it's so profound, isn't it? Just that very simple power of saying no. I will look that up as well and add that to my ever-growing reading list. Thank you. So on to Paula, my former teacher, and thank you so much because I passed my coaching qualification. And I'm so thrilled that you're here today. I feel like, oh, she's here on my podcast. So can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing and maybe share your leadership journey?
Absolutely. So I started off in the banking industry when I finished school, and then I moved into the furniture industry. So I've got a very colourful history in terms of my career. But from that furniture industry, I immigrated to Mozambique. And Mozambique is a small country, well, yeah, smallish country in the east coast of Africa towards the south. And I moved there not long after the Civil War. So the Civil War ended in, I think it was 2004. No, I lie, sorry, 1994. And I moved there in 1997. So one of the things that really inspired me to become the leader that I am today, it was learning about humility and resilience in humanity. You know, I saw a lot of unfortunate things, as you can imagine, after a war, hunger and many other things, unemployment, and seeing humility in people and appreciation and gratitude when given an opportunity to prove themselves or to do something to earn a bit of a living. I think that definitely supported me in how I became the leader that I believe I am today. So yeah.
Wow, what an experience.
After that, I owned several businesses. I had a variety of employees from different backgrounds and cultures, and these in different countries in Africa. So I lived in Swaziland, I lived in Mozambique, I lived in Zimbabwe, I lived in South Africa, and learning about different cultures and different ethics and different values and how people perceive the world, all of that supported me in I guess shaping me as a human being as well, not just, you know, in terms of being a leader. And then once I moved to the UK, I took on a management role in Scotland for several years. And after that, I made a career change and I moved from leadership to becoming an executive coach, where I find myself today. One of my greatest learnings from over the years is that people as a whole, they are good at the core, and their actions are based on goodwill. There's no, not to say everyone is that way, but I think in general, what people do, they do from the heart and they do out of goodness and not spite or. And then I think if I really take my two greatest learnings throughout my journey in leadership as a human being and where I am today, it's perseverance and hope are two things that are everlasting, and we should always appreciate them when we see them. I think those are the things that kind of resonate with me as a person and as a leader.
Definitely. And in the space of 3 minutes, we've traveled the globe with you. And one of the things I know from you is I know you to be a very compassionate person. And all those experiences and all that traveling that you've done, the tapestry of your life, you've seen so many things and experienced so many things and felt so much pain from, from what you've lived in and witnessed. And that compassion that you have, it's just part of you as I know you, and that's shaped your resilience that you mentioned and perseverance and hope, because they are what an underpin humanity, isn't it? And when you said about the core of people, were generally good, sometimes I think it's circumstances that make people do the bad things, not that the person is bad, it's the circumstances. And I was reading online the other week about a holiday destination that I won't mention, that's everyone goes to, and they were saying that because of the cost of living and because of the current situation in the world, that crime had risen, and someone had astutely said it's simply because they can't afford to live, and it doesn't mean that they're bad people, it means that because of their circumstances, they're forced into doing other things. And your observations of where, you know, where you lived and where and what you'd seen, I just think I love the fact that you still hold on to that fact that people are really good at their core. And I hold on to that too. It's circumstances that, you know, hopefully is what makes people do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do. So you moved, you find yourself in Scotland, and then now you went. So when you moved from that leadership role into that teaching, coaching, you brought with you this fantastic skill set that you passed on to people like me. So, did you have any inspiration or role models in that time?
I will tell you that growing up, one of my greatest role models, and as cliched as this might sound, is my mum. So my mum has always believed in me, always. I made some really terrible decisions in hindsight when,
Who
you know,
hasn't?
decisions like we all do. I actually left school before finishing school. Because I wanted to get a job, I wanted to be independent, I wanted my freedom. And my mother, bless her heart, she helped me to create my CV and then she walked because we didn't have a car at the time. My dad had recently passed away. And actually, we were for a while, we were homeless. And my mom helped me walk the streets of Johannesburg up and down from 8 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. Handing out CVs at every single business just so I could get, you know, get a job. But I wasn't even 16 at the time, and nobody was going to give me employment. So about 6 months after doing this, I said to my mom, "Do you know what, mommy? I think you're right. I think I need to go back to school." And I went back to school and I finished school and I finished with some really good grades, and then I moved on to university. But if I think about, my mother could have said, "Well, that's what you want to do, off you go." She would have fought me, I would have rebelled, and I wouldn't have been, you know, taken the trajectory that I did. So she was really such an inspiration to me throughout my life. But then I do have two other individuals, if I may.
Of
So
course.
one of them, I'll just mention her first name. So her name is Celia, and I was managing an establishment for about 6 years, and she showed me where I was going wrong, but without ever making me feel like I was going wrong. She never made me feel judged. She never made me feel undermined. But she had a way about her that really made you reflect and do what her suggestions were, but without really making it feel like they were her suggestions, you know. So she was a real inspiration to me. And then most recently, so I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about where I am employed,
You
but I'm
can, yeah, you can.
so I'm employed by Remit Training. We're a apprenticeship provider, and there is somebody who works for that organ for this organization. Her name is Diane, and I actually made a note here. I said she showed me empathy without judgment at one of the lowest points in my career,
Wow.
and again, without saying much. She inspired me to be the change that I wanted to see. And she has support, well, without doing anything really, just listening to me and letting me voice what I wanted to voice and being that just that supportive individual there to say, the power is within you, Paula. You can make that change. And yeah, she's a real role model for me.
Wow, they sound incredible. And you're not the first to on this podcast to mention their mum. And
Nope.
there's the really it's a real theme, and it just brings tears to my eyes when people talk about their mum. And I just think, wow, isn't that not what every mother wants to hear?
And I one day would like to be that mum.
I'll have to download this podcast and translate it into Portuguese so my mum can hear it.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And for your mum to do that and the circumstances that you described at the time, and to just support you 100%, and it's just such an incredible story. And you know, I was trying to think, what would I have done if that was my child? You know, what would I have done? And it's just your mother knows you better than anyone else on the planet. Yes. And sometimes I say to my children, I know you better than you know yourself. And even though I know what they're going to do further down the line, it might be a few things they have to go through before they get there. But what an incredible woman your mum sounds like. She is a legend.
She absolutely is, until today.
And the second lady you described, oh, she just sounds like the perfect mentor, the perfect person that you would want to work with, to lead someone that gently through, you know, without no judgment, just gently guiding you along your way. That, you know, as a manager and leader myself, I would love to, I would aspire to be that type of person. And then the third person at Remit, that she sounds just perfect. You're really lucky to have had those influences in your life. And it is brilliant that people can reflect over that influence. And maybe we don't get enough opportunity to talk about those influences. And that's one of the reasons I like doing this podcast, because people do dig a little deeper and think, oh, actually, yeah, that person helped me and that person did that. But it's those qualities, those few qualities that keep popping up. And I love that. I love the theme of that as well. Thank you for sharing that. They sound really incredible women. So have you experienced any challenges as a female leader particularly, and how did you navigate them?
So if I have to think about one of my greatest challenges in terms of becoming a leader, first and foremost, I won't give away my age, but back in the day, there wasn't a lot of female representation in management roles and so on. And that was a challenge within itself. And then I was relatively young when I started my leadership journey. So, you know, being a young female in a very male dominated world back in the day was really, really challenging. And there was an opportunity at one in an organization that I worked for. There was an opportunity to apply for a promotion, and I applied, but unfortunately I had just fallen pregnant at the time. Again, I was still relatively young and female in a very male-dominated world. And I didn't get the promotion. And when I asked for feedback, the manager looked at my tummy and said, well, did you really expect to get that promotion?
I was really hoping you weren't going to say that. Oh no,
that's something that would never happen today, you know, but back in the day, yeah, these things did happen. But
and just for anyone that's listening, Paula is not as old as she's making up, by the way.
That to me was an opportunity, actually. I left the company when I started my mat leave. I had my baby, and I wondered at the time, do I want to be following a shepherd, or do I want to be a shepherd? Mm-hmm. And that's when I started my own business. So it was a very big challenge at the time. I mean, I'm speaking of it now like it was just a, you know, snap of the wrist and that was sorted. I obviously cried. I was so disappointed. I was angry. I was upset. But once I let all of those emotions pass through me, took some time for reflection, thought about what is it that I want to do and what legacy do I want to leave my children? It's definitely not one of, you know, feeling defeated, mm-hmm. because defeat is not one of my values, and mm-hmm. it's not a word I like in my vocabulary. And I thought about, what are my strengths? What can I do? where am I in this current world and what can I bring to help others? And so I did. I opened my own business and I ran it quite successfully for 11 years. So,
wow. Yes. And probably it worked very well around your family.
It absolutely did. Yes.
Perfect. And what was it, can I ask?
So living in Mozambique, this was at that time, living in Mozambique, I speak Portuguese. Portuguese is my first language. English is my second language. And there were a lot of South African expats moving into Mozambique, especially large businesses, and they needed a lot of representation in the court systems. So I did, during my maternity leave, I did my qualification in language interpretation. So I qualified. I then got my accreditation through the High Court and Supreme Court of Mozambique. So I became an official sworn translator from English to Portuguese and Portuguese to English. So yes, that was me.
Well, that is a perfect example of something not quite going your way and then something fantastic happening out of it. But you're quite right. You have to go through a process of grief almost, isn't it? It is like I'm processing this horrible situation. And you know what? They didn't deserve you. But to have created something that absolutely fitted around your family, your lifestyle, and to do it so brilliantly for 11 years, that's incredible. That is a major achievement. You should be beginning to write your memoirs, Paula. So with all that, I mean, that is incredible. I'm just trying to process all of that. It's huge, but I'm not surprised, and I don't want you to feel offended by that. I'm not surprised because I know you quite well. You don't strike me as someone that would let obstacles like that get in your way anyway. You know, you're human, you have feelings like we all do, but you would just be that determined and that focused to carry on with whatever goal you had. And at that time, I imagine your goal was to keep a roof over your head and provide for your family. And, you know, you definitely would never have that word defeat in your vocabulary. So, yeah, a formidable force.
Now you can see how the song Warrior and Champion resonates so well.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow, that's amazing. So how do you balance all of this with work-life balance or harmony, as people say now? Some people don't like the word balance because they don't balance. I'm trying to use harmony because sometimes I don't balance everything.
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question because I will ask a question back, not that you need to answer it, the question to reflect on. So if someone asks me that, I ask back, what is your definition of harmony? And what is your definition of work life? So something that I always try and teach my learners is what makes your heart sing? And you need to find that thing that makes your heart sing. And on a Sunday, when I am chilling at home and my heart is singing because I have a group session tomorrow and I want my learners to really enjoy that session, I'm going to go onto my computer, make sure the plan is organized, because that makes my heart sing. When we think about work-life balance, what is work? Is work, is doing something considered work in your mind? Or is it considered, actually, this is what makes me happy in this minute? So first define what is work? What does work mean to you? What does harmony mean to you?
And really interesting way to put it. I have a day job and I love my day job. And then I do this. And this isn't work for me. This is what makes my heart sing. I love doing the podcast. I am a bit of a workaholic. I know that. But I involve my children. I get them involved in what I'm doing. I show them the metrics and things like that. I get to talk to the most incredible people from all around the world. And sometimes I'm sat here thinking, I'm talking to this person and they're They're on the other side of the planet. And you're right, I've always known that. It's a Confucius that said, if you enjoy your job, you never work a day in your life, or whatever that phrase is. And I think it takes a wise person to keep going to find the job they love, because sometimes people get comfortable and they are afraid to step out of their comfort zone. But the great things are outside the comfort zone. But if you're defined by your work and you're having to block out the work for the joy, and the work is that bad that you're building in joy time, then there's no harmony there.
Absolutely.
And you're absolutely right. And there are a lot of people for a million reasons, a million different circumstances that are in that. But yeah, if you're planning your working week with joy and a light heart, then that is harmony, isn't it? And it's difficult when your children are little and that's a different lifestyle. But yeah, when you get past that and they're grown up a little bit, you've got more time to reflect and think, yeah, I actually like my job. I actually like what I'm doing. I like what I'm achieving. And yeah, and that brings for me, it brings a better peace of mind. If I don't have to worry, that's my measurement. If I've not got that many worries, that's the harmony, and being organized and doing all of that. So you totally turned that around on me.
We do anything, Amanda.
No, yeah, yes. Laura, yes, I've learned from the best. Yeah. So what do you like to do to relax, then, apart from planning your lessons for the week? Do you have any hobbies, anything apart from planning lessons?
Well, there's three things. One of them is a very simple one, which I think a lot of people resonates with a lot of people, and that is nice bubble baths, either some music in the background or a podcast. I love a bubble bath in the evening especially. And then two other things that I enjoy doing is learning and playing World of Warcraft. So a little bit intentional. Yes.
I love that.
And unexpected. But I do love learning. I'm just about to finish another level 5 diploma that I have enrolled onto. It's a 2-year program and I'm finishing next week. So I have enrolled in an additional one. I enrolled in December to start now in March. So I don't know why at this age I still want to continue learning, but I love it. So it's a hobby. It's something I thoroughly enjoy. It keeps me motivated. It keeps me alive, I guess. And then I do enjoy playing my World of Warcraft when I want to go and step away from my world temporarily. I play my World of Warcraft.
I love that. It's the last thing I expected you to say, but I think that's fantastic. And it's complete escapism, isn't it?
Yes.
Because you just go into literally another world and you're doing something else completely. My escapism is Scandi Noir dramas. Yeah, I love, they call it Scandi Noir world dramas. And the grittier, the better, because I can completely immerse and I'm not thinking about anything else whatsoever. That's really good. Yes, and me too. I'm constantly learning. I'm always, don't know why, there must be some common thread. But I'm constantly learning, constantly evolving. And I think it's just a curious mind, and which it surely has to be a good thing. But I will constantly ponder down a rabbit hole. Well, why is this and what is that? But it's something that I have always done, and I don't think that's going to change in me. So my final question for you, Paula, what legacy do you hope to leave as a leader?
So on my tombstone, I want two words: unapologetically me. But if I think of my legacy throughout the years, even with my learners, I think one thing I would really like to leave as a leader is that I always believe in others. I always believe in their potential. I believe that nothing can stop you from getting what you want, and I hope that I help bring that into others. That is what I would like to leave. So one day, if somebody goes, Paula Miranda, yeah, I met her 10 years ago. And you know what? The one thing that I will always remember about her is even when I didn't believe in myself, she believed in me.
I'm smiling because 2 days ago I put something on my website, and see if I can quote myself correctly. If your mentor believes in you, you will not fail. And that's just what you've said, and I must have got that from you. That is on my website right now. I've written those words. If your mentor believes in you, you will not fail. And that's precisely the vibe that you give to all your learners. Because I remember when I was studying with you, and you were so that you were just so, of course you're going to pass, you know, it was just never in doubt. So I was just, but I accepted that as fact. So I never had any doubt. So I didn't waste any time thinking, I'm not good at this. I just focused on learning and doing the thing. But that is really interesting that you said that, because I think you do instill that in your learners. And I will forever be grateful, because I enjoyed the experience immensely and I learned so much from you. And I'm so thrilled that you were able to join me today. And thank you for joining me. But thank you for all the things that you taught me. And we will be in touch forever, I hope. And but it's been a real pleasure talking to you tonight, and I'm going to be thinking, World of Warcraft, I did not see that coming, but I think that's amazing. But yeah, thank you so much for your time and for your stories and the rich tapestry of your life. It's just been a real insight, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you for listening to the Leadership Insights podcast today, and special thanks to my lovely guest, Paula Miranda. Join me on the next episode for more inspirational leadership stories and insights. You can follow me on Instagram at Coach Amanda Jane, or visit my website, amandajane.co.uk. Bye for now.